Welcome back to the Power Hour. This is your guest host, Sharon Lynn Wyatt, sitting in for Daniel Brigman. And our guest this hour is Gail Minogue, and you spell her last name as M-I-N-O-G-U-E. And the reason that's important is because her website is GailMinogue.com. And Gail assists individuals and organizations to navigate the dynamics of change and become a master builder of their futures, relationships, and successes. She provides clients with remarkable insights through a unique combination of trend analysis and forecasting, ancient and contemporary cyclical data, plus the wisdom gained from over 30 years in the business markets. Now, Gail is based in Los Angeles, and her specialty is integrating real-world experiences with other teachings. She is a licensed commodities broker and has studied and utilized the ancient sciences for over 30 years. She's written many books, which include Divine Design, How You Create the Life You're Living, which is now in its third edition with an expanded content, and The Invisible System. In addition to media appearances on outlets including CNN, ABC, and Charter Communications, she has produced the DVD special New World Renaissance and also offers media of her presentations through her website. So, Gail, welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here. I appreciate being invited.
So when we were speaking, you were talking about the society as a whole is going through an evolutionary process. Would you mind sharing that with everybody, what you mean by that?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, if nothing else, the purpose of the group of us humans is really to evolve. It's an evolutionary process of going back in time. You know, I think eventually we'll get rid of that, the tiny toe on our foot, because we don't hang from trees anymore. We've evolved, but we're still evolving, and we're evolving quite a bit from the American Revolution period of time to now. If you go back and you see what we have accomplished or not accomplished, this is a continual process, and we're going through it right now. And it's not fun, because there's a lot of changes to the way the economic political systems are being challenged. Everything is being challenged, because we don't grow when it's comfortable. We don't. I mean, if you look at life, if you sit in your chair, you go on a cruise, you're not really growing much. You're not really evolving. You're kind of taking up space. And so it's really where change comes is when it is uncomfortable. And that's what we're going through right now. It's a lot of discomfort. But America is a big catalyst of change for the world. That's part of our job, is to be a catalyst of change for the world and to learn to assimilate and then market that to the rest of the world, because the world does not assimilate very well. And we're having a challenge doing it right here in this nation.
Well, so one of the things that creates a tremendous fear. Assimilated different modalities of different, you know, cultures. And now we're being asked. If I'm understanding you correctly, now we're being asked to assimilate not only the different cultures that come into America, but literally different ways of being for all of us, regardless of the base culture.
Yes. And so, you know, some of us, a lot of things are going to die out. It's kind of a natural evolutionary process. And as we go into an age of more rationality, more thinking, more mind, you mean the concentration is on the brain now, and in medicine, it's on the brain. We're finding diseases of the brain, you know, from Alzheimer's, dementia, all kinds of brain problems. It's all part of this, quote, I don't want to say mindfulness, but it's all about the brain, the mind, and the evolution of that, and thinking and process of thinking. So we're being put in a role more to, as we move forward, to think more rather than just react, respond from emotions and act out and all that. We have to really learn to process. So that's part of our growing up. As you look at civilizations, they go from basically barbarism to civilized to decadence. And America is between barbarism and civilized. And she's trying to become more civilized, and you look at most of the countries that have been colonized in the world, go through the same process from barbarism to civilized to decadent. Europe is kind of in the decadent period, and the colonization of different parts of the globe, you see where they're trying to come out of that tribal mentality into a more civilized country. All of Canada, North America, and Mexico have all been colonized. So we didn't really start with what I'd call indigenous to this land. We started as a colony from somewhere else, owned by someone else, and fought for our independence. So one of these key features of this nation is, quote, individualism. But we are having to learn how to operate in a more collective environment, and that's a real challenge. So you see it in the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and you see all that.
There was something I was reading just the other day that literally said, however we end up with the changes that we're making now in this time period will probably last for about 200 years, so that we'll all get a chance to experience this, but that makes that much more importance on this particular time area. You talked about things will be dying out. What things do you see when you're doing your trends that you see that are going to be dying out because they're no longer have a purpose and we're doing something different?
Well, we're doing something different, and many times change that lasts, and that's different than change right now and then that's it. A change that really lasts takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight, although if you drop an atomic bomb, that will definitely change overnight. But for the most part, change that lasts takes long, slow periods of time, and that's what we're in. And we're fading away, and many people, this will upset many people, but we're fading away and becoming a country that's more secular than what I'll call Christian. And if you read the stats on this, it's not that people don't believe in, say, a higher source or a higher power, but they don't belong, quote, to the church or the temple. All of these religious formations are really, really down in membership, really down nationwide. I'm not talking of a general region or anything like that. I'm talking in general. So as the country becomes more secular, you're going to see more of people still interested in community, which churches and temples all provide, is a sense of community. And people want a sense of community, but they not necessarily will want it in the traditional way. So they will form, honestly, I mean, this is so outlandish, but they have, if you look at social media, they have groups for everything. My daughter belongs to, of all things, a pug group, because she has a pug. And they have group meetings on their dogs, and because people want to be with other people. We're a community. This COVID has been so difficult because it's isolated people, and that's not our primal nature. Our primal nature is really about group association, whether that's a church, a temple, or a volunteer organization. But we have pretty much prided ourselves as, quote, a Christian nation. What you're going to see is a dropping of that in more and more of the secular as the population ages out, the youth behind it, the millennials, Generation Z. This is not their thing. And so right now it's still very much headline news, but as you move forward, another generation, you will see tremendous drop-off in this. So that doesn't mean we become a lawless land. It just means it's going to be different, a different way. We will still want to be together. This is very part of the nature. It's just different forms of groups versus a traditional. I mean, even your church and temple buildings are being reconstituted into other into condominiums and things like that due to the lack of attendance. That's a big, big change. That's going forward, and it's not going backwards.
when I saw the first church for sale, I was just like appalled when I first saw it. And then I thought, well, of course, everything goes for sale at some time or another. But I remember the shock value when I first saw that. Are different generations handling this change of what's happening in our nation better than other generational groups?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you'd call it better. I call it different. The older generation, which is more traditional, tied to a traditional value, kind of tried to the 50s or 60s or what we were like, and they want to go back. You can't go back. Development or even nature itself is always moving and changing. That's one thing you can count on here is continual change. So a lot of that, the older grouping, age-wise, is I'd say suffering more because they're watching a lot of what they had been brought up on and their traditions die out or be diluted. The younger generation really doesn't relate to that. If you look at this generation has been raised more on the internet and social media and they're not much as going to joiner. One of my grandsons, I was just shocked. He didn't really care to drive right away. That was one of the first things you did was learn to drive as soon as you were driving age. That is not true. And also I watched one day while all three of them sat on the couch texting to each other. They were all sitting there. It was like amazing. And so,
they were texting, not talking, even though they were right next to each other.
Yeah, they were right next to each other. Oh, but they were texting. And but this group is used to interacting in a different way. And they're not, say, necessarily interested in acquiring, which is what I call the baby boomers were interested is in acquiring. They really very deserve it. They feel they need to have this and this and this, particularly now they're in retirement. So I think even being in retirement, the baby boomers are going to change the way we retire because we just took a look at what COVID did to nursing homes, which is appalling. And it just shows you the value system that America does not value its elders. We had all these marches for Black Lives Matter and all this kind of stuff, but there was no Old Lives Matter. And so these generations are very different. They're going to handle this very different. The older generation does not like the change, but change is inevitable. And change, it's always change or be changed. And change is either going to be forced on you or you adjust. And the art and secret of staying young is really to lower your resistance to starting over. Critical. Lower your resistance to starting over.
And you know, that's a really good point.
Yeah, not hang on. Don't hang on. Because the boat is going to leave without you. You can be hanging on the end, you know.
Let's talk for a minute on this. I watch, like you said, you've been talking with your grandchildren. Well, I watch my children, and they are very much minimalistic. And one of my grandchildren said, one of the last things she said to me was, we're not going to do that because that would be too much. We don't need all that stuff. And I thought, this kid's six.
It's true. This is where it's going. So you find this is going to affect, all parts of the consumer mentality. When I find for myself that you have, I just sold a large home in LA and I moved to be closer to my husband here in the Valley where he's had a brain injury from an accident and he's in a facility and now I can be 15 minutes from him and oversee a lot where I couldn't before. And so I had all this stuff to get rid of, beautiful things. None of the kids want it. Nobody wants it. The stuff that was so important to my generation is not important. And we have to kind of get over it that, wait a minute, this is this and that was that. This generation and the generation behind it are much more interested in how they can help humanity or whatever and living with less. And so, you know, what that will do to the GDP, what that will do going forward, it will change. What it will create with jobs, it'll all change. But what you're watching is a very large segment of society, which is called the baby boomers, which were one time 78 million. They're dying out and they're moving on. And they heavily vote. So they're still hanging on and trying to resist change that's very apparent and is very coming, whether you like it or not, it's coming. And so some of these changes is going to help what will put America as the position of America, which has always considered itself number one, is changing. It's been changing since 2008, severely changing, economically changing, and then the pandemic, which even made it worse, is going to be what we call a part of the world nations, not necessarily number one, but it's going to live with its brothers and sisters in a more cooperative nature where everybody depends on each other. And that's where it's going versus we're number one, we're going to run all the wars, we're going to do all that. It's just not working because of a lot of reasons, cultural and monetarily. So America is changing from the inside out. It started about November 2008, but the year preceding that was the launching. And we've gone through a lot of stuff. If you go back to 2008, we had that crash, and then we had to sort out and try to recover, and then we had COVID. So the last few years have all been part of this enormous change in America. It will finish in 2024. That's the cycle. It finishes in 2024. So the next few years are very tumultuous. And as we try to sort out, how do we cooperate? How do Congress cooperate? I mean, doesn't do a very good job. And so that's going to be a lesson. It's really an outpicturing of the culture of the society. The society itself, where Americans are further ahead than Congress is. And so it's about catching up, evaluating. The capitalist system that we work under has been in existence for about 500 years. And that's in the process of changing, too. And you're going to see the next 5 years play out big time. You're just starting to see with the coin just went public on the markets. And you're going to see much more of this cryptocurrency become normal part of doing finance and business, et cetera, over the next 5 years. But 2024 is the big change where the word from the people will probably be more powerful or as powerful as corporations. You're just seeing the very beginning of it where we've had these voting restriction laws around the country passed, and you see these corporations, even though they're not doing much, they're just putting their names in the Wall Street. And we don't want voter suppression. But the fact of the matter is you're going to see more and more power after 2024 revert to the people rather than the corporation and the state, meaning Congress. So it'll be very interesting. My prediction and projection would be by the late 20s, you will see changes to the Constitution as a result of it. Right now, no. But after 2024, you'll see the changes, and you'll see the changes that will be put in the Constitutions that we will follow into the 2030s. The 2030s are very good, very good years. America does very well, and also science does very well for people. It's like, wow, the advances coming are enormous, but we got to be patient. We have to slog through this lack of cooperation. It's, you know, my dog is better than your dog, and, you know, this stupidity of the inability to integrate. But it's coming. I just had a call this morning from a woman who wants a private session with me on a location selling her property and home and homes in Oklahoma. And she said, I have to do this now because these Californians are coming in with all this money and they're buying up everything. And I'm like, well, it's a little exaggeration, but I got the point. And she wanted to know a lot of things about timing and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to sit down and go over all that. But this is part and parcel. It's spreading across the country and integrating wherever it goes. And so you'll see much of what we have relied on as our emotional tool was fear. So it's a very fearful place. People are they're feared of change. They hate change. People very much hate change, but it's change or be changed, and change is coming. America is nothing much but about marketing and changing and being a catalyst of change for the rest of the world. So wherever America goes, it changes. The place changes. You know, so we have a job. We're a great country to do that.
I remember when I moved to Germany for 3 years and I taught overseas, and I came back and expected everything to be exactly like I left it. I did not go into culture shock when I moved to Germany because I expected everything to be different. So you don't go into shock because everything's different than what it is at home. But I went into such culture shock when I came back after only 3 years and all of the changes. And
that's
one
America.
Of them at the time was, I thought, my gosh, we didn't have billboards in Germany, but it was like billboard after billboard after billboard when you're driving across the U.S. I mean, that was just one that shocked me, but there were many shocks. And so you're saying that we're going to go through a great deal of change at this time.
Yes.
And so we can either be flexible and accept it as it's coming and not resist it, or it's going to come and force us to accept it, or we'll be in resistance and unhappy.
Yeah, right. And unpleasant. It'll be unpleasantness. See, what this period has done is exposed all the weaknesses and the hidden stuff. And so for 16 years, so this started 2008, finishes 2024, this cycle. So this is about exposure. So I call it the dirt hidden under the dirt. So, we knew about this, but we didn't know about that. And so that is now coming out. And, it's pretty hard.
Okay, so if 2024, up till then it's exposure, we want to know what's coming after 2024.
Yeah.
Please stay
tuned.
We're doing our first commercial break during this hour, and the Power Hour will be right back.
There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
This week only, we're offering 10% off all products found at thepowermall.com. That's right, 10% off all Power Mall products through the end of the week. That's 10% off all Power Mall products, excluding all drop shipped items. Call Jay right now at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or as always, buy from the good guys, buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, offer valid this week only.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. This is guest host Sharon Lynn Wyeth sitting in for Daniel Brinkman. And my guest is Gail Minogue. Now, she is a trend specialist, and you can reach her at her website by her name, GailMinogue.com. And Gail is spelt the normal way, G-A-I-L, and Minogue is M-I-N-O-G-U-E.com. Gail, before we get started, tell us what we'll find when we go to your website, and tell us about your fabulous newsletter.
Well, my fabulous newsletter is, I guess, thank you for calling it fabulous. As my husband has had this brain injury, I haven't been able to do any writing for the few months now, and I moved close here, so everything in the last couple of months has had to slow because of real priorities that, if anybody's been a caretaker, they know darn well what I'm talking about. Clearing the way, he's going to a new place next Friday, and I expect to be back doing my newsletter. But it really is more like a blog. You can read some old ones on my website, which I think you'll find interesting, about the times and a deeper, more philosophical look at these instead of what is on the surface. So you get a deeper understanding of this, these times and people in these times. I've even written about some of the candidates who are running now. I don't have any new candidates to write about, but they're there, so you can research it. And then if anybody wants a private session with me to go over their own situation, like this woman who called from Oklahoma, I'm certainly able to do that and help you too as well. So I've had people from corporations want to hire someone, and they say, could you take a look at this situation, and I've had to tell them I wouldn't hire that person. I would keep the one you have because of XYZ, because things are going to change within 6 months, and they do. And so all kinds of things are revealed. When I started doing this work, I noticed in commodities, in cycles, there were always these same cycles repeat themselves over and over, and you see what that civilization during that period, what that brought in, and then what this period is bringing in. Well, brought in the United States a couple hundred years ago. And so this country is brought in almost like on an assignment to really be a catalyst of change. So people here have to learn a lot about in the United States, they have to learn how to make constructive change versus destructive change. And they also have to learn to assimilate themselves in their situations. Certainly, like, I've had to assimilate from a nice big house with a lot of stuff to this little place that I'm in. And how do you manage that? It's like, ugh. So you have to be able to assimilate and adjust. And, you know, the fittest is those who can adjust, or, as I say, lower your resistance to starting over. You will definitely live longer and never, ever retire. That's another trend. Retirement was came out of the, what, 30s? It was man-made. It's going away. If people who don't retire live longer, that doesn't mean they work like a dog till they die. It means they change and change and change positions. They continually change what they're doing. They finish up this segment. They leave that. Maybe they've been there for years, and they go, and now they're doing this. And then they're doing that. But they're constantly being productive and growing and not retiring. Retiring, again, is a man-made object. So there's all kinds of problems around retirement, having enough to retire on, when should you retire. And, again, it's all man-made. If you had never expected retirement, you would have had very different plans. So I always encourage people to not retire. What would be your career, say, from 60 to 90? What do you want to do? And people don't have any plans. They don't have a plan. And well, so they check out early.
I was just going to say, if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a goal, and if you stop learning, I always think when you stop learning and you stop growing, that's when it's time to check out.
It is. So people need to have plans from 60 to 90. Definitely. And some people don't even get going really till their late 70s. They don't really know what they really want to do, and they don't have it together yet. And that's okay. But in our society, you're over the hill and done. As you can see, with all these COVID people dying in these homes, there was no respect for the elderly. It, you know, 90% of all COVID deaths are over 50. You know, so where's the value system? So Americans, which is a very youthful country, remember I said it's going from barbarism to civilized. Civilized is more in taking care of the elders. And as someone said, when an elder dies, it's like a whole library burning down because of the knowledge and wisdom they have. So until we learn to appreciate the elders, we cannot be civilized enough.
You know, that's really interesting because one does accrue a great deal of information as one ages.
Right.
And it doesn't it seem like the 60s is the new 40s, or maybe it's the 70s or the new 40s or whatever, because it seems like people are more youthful. I mean, I remember as a kid thinking somebody in their 40s was just old, and they looked old, and people in their 50s just looked ancient.
Old.
And yet now people in their 50s look like they're still in their 20s or 30s.
Well, that's part of the baby boom generation where they, you know, they've always felt, the baby boom generation as a group always felt very deserve it. So they deserve it. And they've gone ahead in our society deserving. So they have accumulated, they have the largest amount of wealth going out of life, and they have had benefits and things that the generations that follow don't have, and so they set that up. But as we go forward now, it's not so much I deserve it as what can I do to assist in development and evolution here now. So you're seeing much more consciousness about the planet and taking care of it versus overruling it and using it, which is more the baby boomer generation. They were really kind of the tail end of the Industrial Revolution. And we're coming out of that Industrial Revolution. Hence, you're seeing oil and gas fighting for their lives right now. And same with coal, all part of the Industrial Revolution and fading away as we go more into a period forward, which is hydrogen and wind and sun, solar, all of that. This is
so
where it's going.
with the technology that's coming, would you suggest to anybody who will be purchasing a new car, since we're moving away from gas, to buy an electric vehicle?
If they can take advantage of, say, some government subsidies, I don't even know if they're still in existence, they were to encourage people. What you're going to see is you're going to see more charging stations built. I would say it depends on your pocketbook, but yes, even a hybrid, but yes, because that's where it's going. It depends how long you plan to keep your vehicle, but that's where it's going. That's where it's going. And you want to look to where we've been. Where we've been is where we've been. That's not where we're going. So it's like, I used to be in kindergarten. I mean, that was a ball. I mean, right? I loved it. But if I look back, I can't go back there. I look like an idiot. So now I can't even go back 10 years, 5 years. And a year ago, my life was completely changed. My husband hadn't had an accident. I was living a totally different life. And now it's like, holy smolies. And you downsize, minimalize, and you put prioritize. And then you say, well, even though I'm older now, I'm going to keep working, and I'm happy to keep working. It gives me a purpose. I engage with my clients. I love it. And, my mother lived 102. I expect to be 102 or more, and we'll just keep going here. But the main thing is, don't eat all the sugar. That's another thing we're learning, is that Americans indulge. They have treated the body like it was something that would always do what you told it until it doesn't. And so it's about taking better care of that so that you can live these 60 to 90 productive years well and not be in misery, you know. And so it's a very complicated thing, but the key is things are going to improve. We got to get past the 2024, all right? And then we're going to have more change that is much more about people versus corporate government. And that may be hard to hear, but right now it's very corporate government. You're going to see, and that's not something that I say, well, that's good or not good, but you're going to see much more, even employees objecting to their CEOs deciding to do such a thing. The employees of that company won't like it, and they'll put the pressure on. And that's what you're starting to see the inkling of. And if they don't, if these board of directors are not making the right changes, the employees are going to let them know that is not okay for us. So it's a very different change after 2024. And then, as I say, science is really wonderful after this period. Wonderful. Breakthroughs, the 30s are breakthroughs. So hang in there. I would love to see them make some advancements in people with macular degeneration, because it really, basically, if you can't see, it's really ends a portion of your life. And so big breakthroughs will come about how we treat cancer. All these things are all, you know, one of the things that COVID did, it accelerated. And one of the reasons why COVID vaccine did so well, it was a sharing opportunity. The scientists around the world share their information instead of hogging it. And we got a vaccine to market very, very fast because it was a cooperative nature. And that's what you're going to see much more of. You're going to see more cooperation. It doesn't look like it now. It looks like a big fight everywhere you go. And we're breaking down what I call a tribal mentality. It's a holdover from the last few thousand years, is the tribal mentality. You see it big time in the Middle East, but even in the United States, it's very tribal. We just call it different things.
But it's there. So in the technologies, do you see that they're focusing in a certain way, like medicine, like we're hearing about med beds and other things that just seem like Star Trek or, out of this world right now?
Oh, yeah, and especially for the brain. Remember, I said brain is the new frontier. This is the focus of this period is the brain, you know, and cancer, brain and cancer. So you're going to see changes in this. Right now, we don't have anything for Alzheimer's, dementia, or Parkinson's. These are all brain issues and ALS. and all of these things are brain issues. And so the focus is going to be, and it is, on the brain. I mean, my husband just had a brain shunt put in February. And I went there yesterday to Cedars, and I couldn't believe my eyes as they hold this little teeny gadget over the shunt on his head, and it registers. And you have to go through 1 through 8. And the middle way, because it's what this brain shunt does, it drains the spinal fluid that goes into the brain. It keeps it running and doesn't get clogged. If you have it go too fast, it will dry out the brain and can start it bleeding. If it goes too slow, you have all the effects of pressure on the brain. So you have to have it just right. And you can hold this thing over, and you can change the speed. Just this gadget. Remarkable to me. I'm like stunned. Then he says, we'll come back in a year. We'll see if we need to adjust, or if he changes this or that, or he slows down in progress, come back in and we'll change it. I'm like, you can do this. And so we're going very far out, but we got to get through these early years of the 20s. So after 20, 24, 25, you're going to see a lot more. It's big time stuff. And then the 30s are really big. So it's not to get discouraged. Stop fighting. Be more thoughtful, and when I don't mean kind, yes, but that's nice. But stop being stupid about this stuff. It doesn't get anywhere because progress is coming anyway.
Well, and it's nice that you're giving us some things to look forward to. I always think this too shall pass, because so many different time periods in life, especially when we got moved, you know, because of a job or whatnot, and you're in a new place and it takes a while to adjust, or certain places I couldn't wait to get out of. And I always thought, yeah, well, this won't last long, because we'll get moved again. But I think the real key is just to bloom wherever we're planted. You know,
well,
you bloom here
it.
When
nothing
things change,
last,
you bloom again
nothing
there.
Lasts. Yeah, nothing lasts. You know, we're trying to hang on to our monuments. You know, right now we're going through a Civil War period or renaming statues. And one day people are going to look back at this society a few thousand years from now, and they'll call us the fossil fuel people, just like we call people the Iron Age, or, you know, we call people the Bronze Age. This will be all the fossil fuels age, when all the people use fossil fuel. I mean, that's how it will go, and we will move on. And so, you know, the as I said, You want to stay young, then lower your resistance to starting over, and accommodate and cooperate and stop fighting. And this is the place where assimilation is going to have to be learned and then exported, because the rest of the world is very poorly assimilated. And this is what America is about, marketing, and market this knowledge. But first we have to learn and go through it ourselves. So we fight it. You're different. I don't like you. You know, I don't like your food or smell of your food or the way you look. You know, oh my God, all of these things. And yet, you know, when it comes down to it, if I was going to have a car accident, I have to be rescued, and my car is drowning in the stream that I ran into, I don't care what you look like. If you will rescue me, please. Thank you.
Right.
And see, when
right.
it comes
it
down
matter.
To it,
you
don't
the,
really
the...
care. You just want the help. Doesn't matter. If you have the expertise to get me out of this, thank God you're here. I don't care what you look like or what you eat.
Well, and I think with so many different nationalities as coming into this great melting pot, more and more of that will be acceptance instead of fear, as you get to know just your neighbors, because your neighbors may not be
right.
looking like you anymore.
Well, they may not be looking like you. They may look like you, which is even more disconcerting, but they're not, you know. They're not. I'll bring up one very positive thing that I just found out this week. I was in the dentist for a dental check and hygiene and all that. And my dentist, the hygienist who I've known for 20 years, she said, guess what? California is the only state in the nation that licenses dental hygienists to go into nursing homes and assisted living facilities and to clean and repair the teeth of the patients because they never get, some of these can't get to a dentist, and they have a special chair, traveling chair, and they can even treat the bedridden. And through teleconference, they can send back to the dentist's office, and the dentist can really look in the mouth of the patient, and the dental hygienist can clean the teeth, which is so sorely needed in these assisted living and nursing homes where they do not get proper dental care whatsoever, and that's critical for your well-being. So there's only 800 of these in the whole state. I mean, this is a 40 million population, but it's a special license. It's the only one in the United States that has it, but this will probably spread across the country too. And again, it's a new treatment in medicine for bedridden and elders who live in these facilities. So this is a very promising new regulation, if you want to call it that, or service. It's a new service that's being provided, very much needed in these facilities. So I was delighted to hear that. And again, that will spread as across the country. So many things that come out of California do. It's kind of a...
It's a bellwether state.
And you look at cycles, you always look at the number five, which is always in the middle between one and nine. And five is the catalyst. It looks to the past, and it looks to the future, and it brings the past into the future. So America is very much five-related, and California is five. And so it's a bellwether for the rest of the country. So people are afraid of it. They resent it. They're jealous, what have you. It's big. It's whatever it is, but it just keeps pushing it out. So I'm very happy about the dental care. And that's another trend that will take place. We need to take care of the elderly. We need to respect them. We need to use their knowledge. We need to treat them, not warehouse them. I had an Arab friend one time come in years and years ago, and he said, why do you put your parents in these places? These are warehouses of death. And it was very blunt, but it's kind of true. Warehouses of death. And so it's something that we have to look at, the care we provide as a segment of society. When we become more civilized, we take care of this.
Oh,
but right now,
that sounds very good. That's
no money put. Yeah, we need to put this a priority in our budget, and so that the government helps pick this up, or the ability for elders to pay for it, because it's so, so expensive. It's a fortune, and most people have no money for long-term care. And then the family tries to muddle through, and it's a very, very hard road and exhausting. So this is, again, a priority for the nation, to respect the elders, to treat them well, and provide this service for them. And it's a very, very, very important, because it says a lot about our value system.
Okay,
and
Gail, would you let everybody know one more time how to get a hold of you?
Sure, thank you. You can reach me at my website, GailMinogue.com. That's G-A-I-L. The last name is M as in Mary, I-N as in Nancy, O-G-U-E, M-I-N-O-G-U-E, first name Gail, so it's GailMinogue.com.
Okay,
thank you.
I wanted to make sure we had time to get that in one more time. Is there any last message that you'd like to leave all of us with?
Yes, I think the biggest message is to learn interdependence and cooperation. And again, what I call thoughtfulness. That doesn't mean you go out and buy gifts. It means you think things through versus, and you question and think versus react out of fear. Fear has been the driver for a long, long time here. And it doesn't function well.
And I think a lot of our news media plays on fear. And by reporting the negative and not reporting the positive.
Well, my son says, why do you even look at the news, which I don't anymore, because it's basically negative. Fear sells. They have to fill 24 hours. Fear sells. Your website's selling fear or conspiracies or whatever. It's fear. It's all fear. And fear is the teaching tool of a prior period. it doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't work. Well, it just creates chaos and money loss. And
well,
sometimes
I always
live
found
loss.
That when you make a decision based out of fear, that ends up being the incorrect decision later on, and to always calm oneself down first before you make a decision.
Well, that's very good advice. I think when you, as you're seeing too, you see a rise now. One of the things I did mention was the rise in female power. This is a huge trend and will get much bigger after 2024, where you see female replacing of the male dominance. She's just starting, and she's only been, say, doing it for like 20 years now, really starting. And she will get stronger and stronger and literally replace much of the male dominance throughout our corporate and our government worlds. And so, I mean, you're just seeing now the discussion that that women should sign up for the draft, you know, that women should get equal pay. They only get 84.2% of male pay for doing the same job. So, again, you're going to see this rise. This is another huge trend that really launches in 2024 is the rise of female power. Female people, not only in government, which is an easy place. I mean, you don't have to be very qualified to run for anything. You can run without a college degree, whereas most professions require you to have some type of special training or degree, not government. I mean, you could be Johnny Dullard and get elected. And have really no qualification, or not be very competent, and still run and get elected because you either had a lot of money or you were a good talker.
You know, that's a really good point that there are no qualifications. Yeah. It's kind of like being a parent. There's no pre-qualifications before you get to be a parent either.
No, so you want to look over who are these people representing us and getting paid by us, and why can they stay there forever? So why, I think another thing you're going to start seeing, not so much as packing the Supreme Court, but you're going to start seeing the latter part of the 20th century, I mean the 20s, you're going to start seeing discussions about congressional term limits and Supreme Court term limits by the end of the 20s.
Term limits. That would probably be a good thing. I mean, I just got something across my email that they made a recommendation yesterday to start enlarging the Supreme Court, and that it didn't go over very well. So
no, it's not about enlarging it. It's about term limits. We have it in the presidency. We don't have it in the other two branches. But that's coming, and that'll come late in the 20s.
Gail, I want to thank you again for joining us. Everyone listening, this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth. My website is knowthename.com if you'd like to have your name interpreted. And it was just a pleasure to be able to sit in for Daniel Brigman, who should be back next week. Thank you so much for listening, and have a fabulous weekend.
Yahweh, righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.